This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Many Christian denominations today pay little attention to the Old Testament. So many of them have dismissed its value and importance as it relates to the overall historicity of the early New Testament church. They often relegate it to just interesting stories of moral relevance interlaced with the historical details about the nation of Israel and God's covenant with it. Very few take the time to realize it had enormous value to the original establishment and doctrinal structure which defined the church that Jesus built. Why, it's also a well-known fact among many scholars today that specific teachings and understood beliefs by that original apostolic church were, over the years, abandoned and replaced with ideas and concepts that were indeed foreign to those early on in the congregations that emerged. Why, most don't even realize or pay any attention to the unquestionable fact that the Old Testament was indeed the original Bible of that early New Testament church and was the very foundation for information that provided definition to the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed. Why, even Christ himself admitted the law and the prophets spoke about him. So won't you let us help you to understand the importance of the Old Testament as we try to attempt to explain the value it has to the gospel of Jesus Christ on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international edition of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. Thank you for being with us here and sharing a little bit of time to explore God's Word on this particular day. You know, I have a real simple question for all of us today that quite frankly is, well, overlooked quite a lot and quite frequently. As a matter of fact, it's so well overlooked that many people really kind of begin to take it for granted because there's such an emphasis on the New Testament that the question I have for us today is, why is the Old Testament so marginalized? Why do so many denominations minimize the value of the Old Testament and the relevance of the New Testament? My friends, it is amazing how, and I'm sure many of you agree, that so many denominations, Christian denominations, just view the Old Testament as, well, maybe some historical value. Of course, it's got some value for little children and stories about Daniel and the lion's den, you know, and the Adam and Eve in the garden and all those things, Noah's Ark. But in all due respect, there is a lot of information in the Old Testament that is very relevant to us today, and especially in the five books, the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Torah. And so many people minimize and really just diminish the value of those books because in many cases, New Testament Christians claim, due to the fact that, well, we're under the New Covenant, and there's no disagreement about that, but they go one step further and essentially say that because we're in or under the New Covenant, well, that Old Testament stuff, that Old Covenant stuff is just old and it's outdated and it doesn't need to be adhered to, listened to, or really taken seriously anymore because we've got grace and we've got forgiveness and we've got Jesus as our Messiah. And in all due respect, you know that the New Testament does not quote the New Testament in one area at all. And by contrast, and I say that rather facetiously, because by contrast, the Old Testament, let me give you some statistics here. The Old Testament is quoted approximately 695 times in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, 27 books in the New Testament, 21 of those books are quoted. 21 books of the 27 New Testament books quote the Old Testament. And of the six New Testament books that don't quote the Old Testament, four of those six refer to the Old Testament. And of the 39 books of the Old Testament, only nine of those books are not quoted in the New Testament. These are amazing statistics, my friends, and you can't help but to ask yourself, what's going on here? Why is the Old Testament so frequently quoted by New Testament writers claiming and attaching and referencing for authority and credibility that the Old Testament has some leverage to be leveraged for the goodness of and clarity of the New Testament? And it is. The Old Testament is oftentimes, as already pointed out, approximately 695 times total quoted in the New Testament. And the truth be known, there is references that go into the thousands with regard to the New Testament and the Old Testament's relationship with it. So we're going to explore a little bit here today on just where is the value of the Old Testament, and can we prove it from the Bible that the Old Testament is still contemporary and has current value for us New Testament, New Covenant Christians. But before we do, let me interrupt myself, as we usually do on the program, to present to you some free offers that we have today. And they're both free, let me emphasize, free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that number, 888-578-8791, or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org and ask for both of these free items. They're, as I say, free for the asking. One is a piece of literature, a small booklet titled Are Christians Still Under the Law? And a one-hour presentation given before a live audience titled Are the Commandments Abolished? That's right. Both of these are free. So all you've got to do is dial that number that's up on the screen. And let me remind all of you as well, we have a webcasting feature on that website, as you will go to it if you do. And every Saturday, we have times listed and actually other parts of the week where Bible studies are being conducted in real time and in some cases podcasted pre-recorded Bible studies for your pleasure, your listening pleasure, as well as hopefully enhancements to your growth and understanding about your walk with Jesus Christ. So don't be shy or bashful about dialing in, looking up under the webcast section of our homepage there. It's along the top. You see webcast, hit it. You'll get a drop-down listing of links there. Just hit them, and the times and day of week will be listed there of when those webcasts are scheduled. So again, let me also remind you about these free offers on today's program. All you've got to do is dial that 888-578-8791 number and or hit us on that website at www.cgi.org, and we'll get the material out to you as soon as you leave your contact information for us. Now, let's get back to the program here and what we were talking about with regard to the value of the Old Testament in its relationship to the New Testament. Now, again, I don't know why people today seem to marginalize or diminish the value of the Old Testament, especially when the Old Testament is quoted so many times, as mentioned before. And I brought up the fact as well that especially the Torah, New Testament Christians today in many denominations look at the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Torah, the writings of Moses, with even less value because they claim, well, we're under the age of grace. Consequently, the law was nailed to the cross, so therefore those first five books that are so legalistic are not relative. Well, my friends, let me mention something here. I don't know if you realize it or not, but again, let me show you some ironic statistics about the Torah. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Torah is quoted in the New Testament approximately 245 times. And the Apostle Paul, one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament, well, he quotes and or references the Torah over 100 times. And Jesus Christ himself quotes the Torah. That's right, if you have a red-lettered Bible, you'll find over 60 quotes from Jesus Christ himself quoting the Torah. That is quotes from those first five books written by Moses. It's amazing, my friends. And what most people don't really realize, and it's in your face. I mean, people should recognize this, but oftentimes New Testament Christians don't even get this when they're reading their New Testament Bibles. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that the Old Testament was the Bible of the early New Testament church. That's right. Those were the scriptures that were referenced when the apostles wrote down referencing scriptures in the New Testament. They were referencing those scriptures that represented the Old Testament. Notice something over here. Let's just spend some time exploring some scriptures in the New Testament, New Covenant, and that references the scriptures. And keep in mind, all of you need to recognize this. The New Testament wasn't written yet, okay? We're talking about the time period between the years 33 AD, 35 AD, and about maybe 60, 70 AD, okay? When the New Testament basically is referencing that time period, but many of those books and letters weren't written until later on, near the ends of the lives of some of these guys, like Paul, in around 55 to 60 AD or so. So there was a lot of reference to scriptures, and you can't say they were the New Testament scriptures. That is not right or true. I want to emphasize this. There was no New Testament. So when the New Testament writers, and this is the point, reference scriptures like here in 2 Timothy, let me bring your attention, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to a young evangelist named Timothy, says this, the scriptures he's referencing is the Old Testament. Notice what Paul says here. And in verse 14, he says, but continue you in the things which you have learned and that has assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And that from a child, Timothy, from a child, Paul is encouraging Timothy. He's appealing to Timothy. He says, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. What Holy Scriptures did Timothy be brought up with? What was Paul talking about? What scriptures was he referencing? He was referencing the Old Testament. That's what he was referencing here. Notice, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture. There he says it again. This is the Old Testament. My friends, I want you to let this resonate with you. He's saying here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine. The Old Testament is profitable for doctrine. That's what he's telling Timothy. He's saying it is profitable for reproof and correction. What scriptures? The Old Testament is what is being referenced here. Paul is saying it's profitable. It's relevant to you, Timothy. He goes on and he says, for instruction in righteousness. He's saying the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, are profitable to you, Timothy, for instruction, for reproof, for doctrine. Do we get this? My friends, it's so clear in so many cases. Notice this. Turn with me, if you would. Also, over here to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 is the story about a big meeting that occurred. Peter came in to Jerusalem. James was there, Jesus' half-brother. All the apostles, Barnabas and so on, many of them were brought into Jerusalem to discuss some issues that were beginning to emerge due to the interplay with the Gentiles. And because, of course, the early New Testament church was so heavily influenced by... That's right, the Old Testament, that there were some issues, especially that of circumcision, which were being somewhat controversial and being viewed as somewhat conflicting, and the issues were whether or not it should continue to be observed and or conducted, along with some other issues that were brought up. But here, cutting to the chase, I just want to point this out. as James, he says in verse 19 of Acts 15, he says, okay, after everybody talked and all the issues were heard, James says this, "My sentence is that we trouble not them which are from among the Gentiles." And he goes on, "but that we write unto them, they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication," because they would go to the temples of these pagan gods and have intercourse and sexual relations with temple prostitutes. So they are telling these pagans, these essentially former pagans, I should say, Gentiles, being brought up outside of the nation of Israel, these people, they're being told, stop that. Don't do that. Abstain from things that were strangled and polluted to idols and fornication and, of course, strangled and from blood. And he says this is the reason for that, that that's why they're only saying these things, because the rest of the things are covered due to this. Notice, read it. Get your Bible. Blow the dust off of it. Notice verse 21, Acts 15, it says, "For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day." So you see, the apostles were not worried or bothered about the lack of information, teaching, and doctrine that would be shared and brought to the minds of these Gentiles, because they knew that if the Gentiles were in attendance every Sabbath day in the synagogues, that they would be educated in knowing what is right and wrong based from the Word of God. And again, let me remind you, what was the Word of God at that time? The Old Testament. Those were the Scriptures. There's just no way you can avoid not facing up to this fact, my friends. The Old Testament was the basis, the foundation of authority the apostles and early pastors and teachers of the gospel referenced and used to leverage teachings, instruction, reproof, and doctrinal educational presentations. Notice over here in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, this is the story of the men on their way to a town on the road to Emmaus. And they were talking amongst themselves on the day that Jesus was now beginning to be seen in his post-resurrected form. These two guys are talking over what has happened over the weekend, the death and crucifixion of Christ, and all the things that were going on. And as they were talking, these guys have another guy that walks up to them. And here it says in verse 14 of Luke 24, notice this, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, and they didn't recognize him." So they go on and they're talking, and all of a sudden they get into this conversation, and essentially in verse 24, "certain of them which were with us went," and they're explaining the sepulcher, "and they found that the sepulcher was empty, and the women said they were basically seeing him," and so forth. In verse 23, Jesus says this in response to their discussion, "O fools, slow of heart, believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And what does Jesus do at this point to these two guys on the road of Emmaus? He says here in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses," the Torah, "and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." That's right, my friends. Jesus began and commenced a discussion with these two guys that undertook the narration of the Old Testament, including the Torah, started with Moses, that's the writings of Moses, and took them all through the prophets, speaking to them and using those Scriptures, Old Testament Scriptures, of illustrating the credibility, reality, and the actual factual events surrounding the prophetic fulfillment of Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, suffering servant, ultimate messiahship, and qualifying to be the Savior. This is just so clear. And when we begin to think in the timeline that we should be thinking in, I hope it becomes clear to you that the scriptures being talked about, the scriptures being referenced, the ones that Jesus used right here with these two guys, was the Old Testament. Notice over here in the book of Ephesians. Let's go to the book of Ephesians here. And in chapter 2, we read this very clearly in chapter 2. And in verse 19, breaking into the context, we read, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built." Notice this. Are built. You're built upon the foundations, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Notice this over here in Acts chapter 28. Is it no wonder here we read that essentially the foundation of the gospel is found in the writings of Moses, in the writings of Psalms and Proverbs, and in the prophets, that these are the foundational building blocks, along with Christ being the chief cornerstone, of course. Of course, these are the things your Bible is explaining to us so that you will understand that we should view the Old Testament, my friends, with such respect and awe. We should give the Old Testament, frankly, honor, because it is the basis and the foundation of the very early New Testament church. Notice what the Apostle Paul was doing. Here he is in the latter days of his own life, in basically carceration, given a house while he's waiting basically to be killed. He was martyred, they claim, over in Rome. But here, prior to that, for a few years, he was given the freedom to teach and to have the right and access to scriptures. What scriptures did he have access to? Again, let me remind you, I hate to belabor this. Nevertheless, I want you to understand and get this through your minds and into your hearts to understand the scriptures he was using, and we're told what scriptures he was using was the Old Testament. Notice chapter 28, book of Acts, verse 23. Read this. "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him," to Paul, that's the him, it was Paul here, "into his lodging, the house where he was staying, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus," notice, "concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Do we get this, my friends? Do we understand this? There's the Apostle Paul, later years of his life, and he has opportunity to teach about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And what does he do? He uses the Old Testament. He's using the Old Testament to teach about Jesus and the kingdom of God, the writings of Moses and the prophets. That's what we read here in Acts chapter 28. Go over here to the book of Acts again, just a few pages up in chapter 8. And let me take opportunity here to read in verse 26. We have Philip. That's right, Philip, one of the early disciples. And he comes up upon an Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch, of all things, is reading the book of Isaiah. I don't have time to go through each scripture on this. I'll just basically give you the gist of the story. Philip comes up on him, asks him if he understands what he's reading. He says, "Well, how can I understand unless some man shows me?" And so Philip says, "Well, here, let me help you." And he gets up into his chariot, and the two of them start to talk. And verse 32, he says, "The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears." And what he's quoting here is Isaiah chapter 53, roughly verses 7 and 8. And so he asks a question. And essentially, in his humiliation, judgment, verse 33, was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he says, look, who's this guy talking about? Who's the prophet talking about? Is the prophet talking about himself or another man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And again proceeded through those Old Testament scriptures, my friends, to expound the gospel. And what do I mean by that? The gospel, Jesus, the suffering servant, is described in chapters 52 and 53 of the book of Isaiah. You can read those things. Micah 4, Isaiah 2, Malachi, in all of these books you will find the book of Amos and Hosea, descriptions and prophecies of the kingdom of God, by the way, on earth, including Zechariah as well. All of this information, what is right and what is wrong, how should human beings live? Well, you can find a lot of the nuances and details out by reading the law. People say, well, Jesus never really talked specifically about certain issues like homosexuality. Well, why should he have to when you have the whole book of Leviticus filled with much of how one should be in relationship to certain things sexually, certain things in a marriage, how you should respect the relationships that you should have and treat your neighbor in certain ways. People even think that, you know, when Jesus said you should love your neighbor as yourself, that that was a New Testament commandment that he just made up out of thin air, and that you should love your God first with all of your might. Those were Old Testament scriptures, my friends, that Jesus was quoting from out of the Torah. That's right, out of the Torah. There's just so much more that we could say about this. But let me take you back and close with this particular scripture in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 17, where Jesus says this in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, very clearly and very concisely and very forthrightly, without a doubt, simply says, verse 17, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. My friends, as I said, so much more that I could say, but time's run out on me. Go ahead, dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask for the free literature. Both are free for the asking. Booklet titled, Are Christians Under the Law? And a one-hour presentation before a live audience, Are the Commandments Abolished? Hit us on that website, too, at www.cgi.org. My friends, this is Bill Watson, and as we always do, we'd like to remind you, in these very hard times, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these very, very troubled times.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.